You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin's Joint Finance Committee yesterday approved the creation of a fund of $125 million to deal with PFAS contamination here in Wisconsin. That exceeded what Governor Evers put forth in his latest budget proposal on the issue. PFAS is a long-lasting chemical tied to a number of health risks. It's been found in significant amounts in water in communities around the state. The committee didn't specify how exactly the money would be spent. Earlier in the week, though, several Republican lawmakers did introduce a bill that would help provide grants to communities struggling with PFAS contamination. We're going to look at what's in the proposal and the significance of the new PFAS fighting fund, starting with one of the lawmakers who sponsored that bill. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this an issue in your community? Do you live somewhere that's impacted by PFAS? What kind of problems has that caused for you, your neighbors, your local government and utility? Do you see any solutions in the works? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. State Senator Eric Wimberger is a Republican representing Senate District 30, which includes Green Bay, Marinette, and Peshtigo. He's a member of Joint Finance. Senator Wimberger, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me back.
Can you talk about this $125 million decision you made to fight PFAS in the state?
Sure. I think it's just kind of a culmination of several years of figuring out what's going on. Although we've known that PFAS was around for, you know, obviously quite some time, we're still dialing in the minutia of what's needed and how to approach a situation. And I think knowing that at the end of the day, it's probably going to be more than a $125 million obligation to fix things over the course of time. This was a good start, and I'm glad the committee and hopefully the legislature will agree with me that that it's something we need to take seriously like we have.
This is affecting communities around the state. In your neck of the woods there in northeastern Wisconsin, what are you hearing from your constituents, your local communities?
In my area, I think it's unique in that we have all three types of ways that the known ways that PFAS is getting into things. And the first is directly from industry, where there's testing at a particular plant here in the area that goes into the ground, and then it migrates to the aquifer, particularly getting closer to the Bay, Green Bay, and then also into neighborhoods. And then we have airports where, in an effort to save lives, there's testing on testing for high temperature fires in airports. And we have airports here and up north that where the same thing is going on. The PFAS is going into the ground and then migrating around. And then also, quite separately and uniquely, our biosolids that I was able to discover and figure out over the last couple of years, to a degree that a municipality, for instance, with a wastewater treatment plant, will take leachate in particular, and this is why it's kind of going all over the state, is leachate from a landfill, so that the landfill has stuff in it that has PFAS, and then the leachate goes to the bottom of the landfill. Municipality will take that for a fee and treat it, but then the biosolid that's left, they give to farmers as free fertilizer, essentially to cut on costs of relandfilling that. And I think unbeknownst to many municipalities, there's PFAS in there, they weren't testing for it, and it's all over farms. So we have a combination of all that going on.
I think there's bipartisan agreement. It seems like that we need to do something. There needs to be some kind of investment. Your Democratic colleagues on Joint Finance and elsewhere has raised concerns that there aren't enough standards here. Senator Kelder Royce said during one of the hearings, quote, "You can't do it with money alone. You have to have standards. You have to have testing. You have to have accountability." And she and her Democratic colleagues saying they're not seeing that from what you're putting forward here. What's your response?
As a general policy in the budget, we've focused entirely on fiscal applications, and it wasn't just related to PFAS. It's just a blanket, no policy in the budget. We're not going to bog that down with everybody fighting over policy inserted in the budget. So the money being allocated, and then there'll be trailer bills to, hash it out on the floor of the legislature on how to do things in more specificity. But yeah, obviously there has to be regulations. Unfortunately, the DNR has kind of had 5 years now to take a crack at this and have failed in the regulatory administrative law process, which I'm not particularly happy about. I think those things will eventually work through. And there's nothing really stopping the DNR from doing regulations right now under Section 292, the spills law. They can do it right now if they were so inclined, and I hope they do.
Talking to State Senator Eric Wimberger from the Green Bay area, looking at PFAS in the state budget and in legislation. And let's talk about testing now. You're a co-sponsor on a bill you introduced this week that includes grants to localities to help them with PFAS testing. Can you tell us a little bit about how that could work?
Yeah, you've got not only the stuff going into the treatment plants, but the stuff going out. And, you know, half the stuff going out is the quote unquote clean water that is a surface water discharge most of the time into a stream or the Great Lakes. And, you got to make sure that's right. And that just costs a lot of money to be able to test or even to get your treatment plant geared up to be below what's going to be presumed a particular level, I guess. We will be in Wisconsin by Chapter 160 obligated to adopt whatever the federal standards become. And right now the EPA is in a notice and comment period on PFAS for the groundwater standards. There already is a surface water standard that's been issued with various levels for the various types of PFAS. And when all that stuff starts to roll through in the next year or two, you know, we will be obligated to adopt those, and we got to kind of be on the front end of being able to address that.
You mentioned you see the DNR having at least some authority here. Do you have thoughts on, you know, making it very clear what kind of regulatory power the DNR would have, including to hold polluters accountable?
That phrase there is so difficult because on Section 292, a polluter is going to be what's called, the equal term there is what's called an emitter. And an emitter is someone who owns a piece of property, and there's going to be one molecule that transfers from one property to the next property. And when you have people like a farmer who, unbeknownst to them, took a biosolid and it goes down on the water table and shakes out, and then it migrates in the aquifer over to their neighbor, they will be an emitter. And technically, under the spills law, you know, subject to remediation orders, and it'll cause massive devaluations of property. So holding polluters accountable, everybody likes that platitudinous statement, but we got to dial that in to make sure that the people who, you know, should be responsible are, in fact, responsible.
Do you have thoughts on how to do that? So for not some, say, a farmer who has a small amount through no fault of their own versus somebody who may have been using an industrial practice for a couple decades?
A lot of that is actually all being litigated at the moment. For instance, Johnson Controls in the northern part of my district is embroiled in a lot of litigation. It's kind of centered around the federal district, and the northern district federal court of South Carolina is kind of where they put all these cases. And that initial settlement a little while back was because of that litigation in Northern District of South Carolina. And I think over the course of time, those things are going to be kind of hashed out. The difficult legal question is going to be that when the municipality gets PFAS, then they tell the farmers that go ahead and use that. I believe, this is my own personal kind of analysis, I believe that to my crystal ball that what's going to end up happening is the courts will consider that an intervening act, and that intervening act might cut the liability tie between manufacturers and the end receiver, which would be the farmers. And then the municipalities themselves, who declared it safe and giving the biosolids, are going to be protected by a sovereign immunity clause in Chapter 292. So at the end of the day, there's going to be a whole lot of people left holding egg at the end. Because of some things, and you can't necessarily change a lot of that in retroactively because of it would be ex post facto. So it's just it's really a difficult legal and personal and health situation all around, and I hope to dial.
Let's bring on a quick call before we let you go, Senator. Jerry is with us in Oconto. Jerry, hi.
Yes, it seems to me, looking at what's being proposed, is the taxpayers are going to be most likely footing the bill. I appreciate that the amount of money given, $125 million or whatever it is going to help in some of the cleanup, but it does seem like we're leaving the polluters off the hook, the people that made the money.
I gotcha, Jerry. Thanks for the call. Senator Wimberger, what do you say to Jerry?
Sure. One of the aspects of what was passed last night is that if there's any sort of recuperation through litigation, it will be put into that PFAS fund. But at the same time, you know, it's the truth. The truth of the matter is that people were acting on the orders and direction of the DNR this whole time, and trying to abide by those standards. And that, you know, when municipalities are spreading it around and people are, you know, having Teflon pans and putting fire retardant stuff on their clothing because it's all approved by the government. I mean, we don't want it to be that way, but you know, I think there's going to be litigation that ends up in some recovery, but there is an obligation on us all kind of to get together and fix it.
Jerry, thanks for the call. And Senator Wimberger, thanks again for joining us today.
You bet. Thanks.
That's State Senator Eric Wimberger, a Republican from the Green Bay area. We're talking about a new Republican bill aimed at addressing PFAS contamination around the state, along with funding from Joint Finance Committee. Coming up, we'll get some reactions from a conservation group and an organization that advises rural communities on water use and management. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk about new funding for fighting PFAS contamination in Wisconsin water. The state's Joint Finance Committee approved funding last night. Some legislative Republicans released a bill that would address PFAS testing. Peter Burris joins us now, Government Affairs Manager for Wisconsin Conservation Voters. Peter, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
And Chris Groh is the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Rural Water Association. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
Chris, let's start with you. What's your reaction to what we're seeing and when it comes to funding and this support for testing in the form of grants that we were just talking about with the state senator?
I'm encouraged. I often say we will take every penny that is given out for treatment and testing for water systems. So it's encouraging. Basically, we all have to come together over water. And this is a good first step.
And Peter, can you give us a little more context on this problem and how we got to yesterday's vote in Joint Finance?
Yes. So I, you know, first want to say, reemphasize that this is all first and foremost about health. So we know that PFAS are highly toxic human-made chemicals. They've been tied to complications with pregnancy, development issues, heart disease, testicular cancer. And the way we see yesterday's decision is that it's really a testament to, first and foremost, the work of impacted community advocates across the state. So for years and years, folks and communities across Wisconsin have been fighting for action on PFAS, folks in Peshtigo and Marinette specifically, and in the senator's district. And so really want to, you know, say thank you first and foremost to them for continuing the fight to make sure that we have action for all impacted community members. You know, also, it's a testament to the work of Governor Evers and Democrats who have been pushing for funding for our local communities, as well as standards and preventative measures for years. We've seen substantive legislation introduced in both of the past two sessions. And third, you know, I do want to thank Senator Wimberger and members of the Joint Finance Committee for recognizing the need to provide direct support to our communities. With the new standards that Wisconsin implemented last summer, more than 70 Wisconsin communities have detected PFAS contamination, and those communities represent more than 2.2 million Wisconsinites. So I'm really encouraged that this $125 million proposal is demonstrating that there is growing bipartisan support for direct support directly supporting our communities. You know, certainly still want to see prevention, phase out of these chemicals, and accountability, but really encouraged by this step.
Now, this affects communities, Chris, big and small. Can you talk about your member organizations in the Rural Water Association and some of the unique challenges they faced with a problem like PFAS?
Well, my association represents all the small systems, cities under 10,000 people, mm-hmm. Which is fairly rural. That's about 4.4 million people in the state that we are legislating for and assisting. Basically, we go out and we render technical assistance and training. The big thing for rural systems is costs. There are very big problems in infrastructure in small systems. Many systems are old, ready for an upgrade, but lack of funding the last few years has prevented it. This money will help with some of that. But the big thing we fight for or have a hard time with is the affordability of adding more components to be tested for, treated for, to provide safe water.
Yeah. Is there a concern, Chris, among some of your members that, okay, we might end up with new testing guidelines or even treatment guidelines, and that even with this grant money, that might be unattainable for our local budget?
Yes. All these things always come with a 20% match. So, you know, city might get a grant of $1 million and they have to come up with 20% of that. Most systems run hand to mouth. So there is not that kind of money out there to even come up with the 20% match. More testing means more money. More regulation means more money, means upgrades at the plant. Waste, and most cities have a water and a wastewater situation, so they're hit on both ends. Both ends, I guess you'd say. But it's always coming down to money and the availability of operators. Most cities have one, two, maybe a few more operators, and that's becoming an issue also.
And Peter, with the testing bill, we talked to Senator Wimberger about there, co-sponsoring with Senator Rob Coles. You see some similarities, I think, with what Governor Evers had the proposal. What do you see as at least the potential benefit of this this proposed legislation?
Sure. So I mean, I guess, first of all, the challenge, again, with this funding proposal is that it is not real until we pass this legislation. Mm-hmm. So we see some really key similarities in terms of municipal grants for local communities, though some differences on the flexibility of those grants. Support for private well owners, support for farmers not responsible for contamination but dealing with it, support for the collection and disposal of firefighting foam. So those are all, you know, some key similarities that we're really excited about that there seems to be growing bipartisan support around. And, you know, at the same time, some key differences. So on the positive end, really excited that the senators legislation includes investment in research for treatment, disposal, and destruction. It also includes an attempt to reduce cost for testing, which is really important, particularly for private well owners, which is a third of our Wisconsinites. But, you know, some things that are really concerning and that I think are going to make it really difficult to get, you know, potentially really get difficult to get this legislation across the finish line. You know, so on the generally negative side, there isn't a call for standards. There isn't additional staffing. And in fact, yesterday, Joint Finance cut staffing at the DNR. So we're asking our DNR to do more with fewer, more actions with fewer resources. There's not accountability included in the proposed legislation. And I think most concerning is that there is a section specific to limitations on DNR actions. So again, you know, it's great that we want the DNR to do more on this issue to make sure that we are protecting our communities from these dangerous forever chemicals. But we need to make sure that that they have the resources to do that.
And Peter, the things you listed, testing, treatment, destruction of PFAS, that's all for stuff that's already in the ground and in the water. How are we doing on preventing it from entering the systems in the first place?
That's a great question. I think we have a long ways to go on that front. So certainly we at Wisconsin Conservation Voters in this legislative session are going to be advocating for legislation that prevents the use of these chemicals so that, you know, long term we are phasing them out and they're not getting into our water systems in the first place.
And Chris, you mentioned the difficulties with that 20% match in some cases. Do you have thoughts on what you might like to see change in this legislation as it moves forward that might help these smaller communities deal with this problem and be able to afford it?
I guess I would piggyback on what Peter was talking about as far as keeping them out of the system to begin with. A lot of it's a function of DNR not being able to do their complete job also because they're getting phased out of the program. But keeping it out is important. Water, wastewater industry does not use PFAS in any form or shape. So, you know, we are a mandatory acceptor. So whatever happens in our wells and our wastewater plants comes from the outside. I guess it would be nice to have help from that. That's enforcement. from DNR. You know, other than that, I guess easier access to the money, maybe grants that don't mandate that we have to match, maybe easier application, you know, things like that that make it more flow through for these small systems.
And Peter, as we wrap up, this is all happening as we're waiting for maybe a big change in federal guidelines on PFAS. What are you watching for when it comes to what we consider minimum or maximum, excuse me, standards in our various kinds of waters, just in our last few moments?
Sure. Well, we know that the EPA is working on maximum contaminant levels for PFAS. We expect that they'll set a level of around 4 parts per trillion, which is an extremely, extremely low level. It signifies what we are learning about every day, that these chemicals are highly toxic, any level is unsafe. So, but their goal is no detection. So, you know, ultimately, we want to be moving towards the full removal of these chemicals. We're not going to see the standards fully in place for another couple of years. So, but testing and support to our communities to get ahead of this problem as quickly as possible is really key.
Thanks to both of our guests today. We've been talking to Peter Burris, Government Affairs Manager for Wisconsin Conservation Voters, and Chris Groh, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Rural Water Association. And earlier, we heard from Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger, who represents the Green Bay area. We talked with all of them about a new Republican-sponsored bill aimed at fighting PFAS contamination around the state, and the news that the Joint Finance Committee just approved a new $125 million fund for fighting PFAS in Wisconsin.